A creature alive today has survived millions of years of evolution. It lives to kill, a mindless eating machine that will attack and devour anything. One terrified you like nothing you have ever experienced when it captured your imagination and tapped your fear like no movie before it. Then, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, two continued the legend and spread the fear. Next summer, nature's most terrifying creature takes on an all-new dimension in an all-new adventure. And for the first time, the terror of Jaws will not stop at the edge of the screen.
Let's talk about sharks, baby. Let's talk about them in 3D. Let's talk about all the good things, all the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sharks.
That's a great idea, Tom, because we are here today at the Bitter End Podcast with me, Todd Jordan.
And me, Tom Denny.
And we're going to talk about sharks in 3D!
Oh, the serendipitous union of music and what we're actually here to do. Perfect. Couldn't have planned it better. If I had planned it, I didn't.
It was so off the cuff.
It's so off the fucking cuff because that's podcasting, baby. Yes, we're here to talk about Jaws 3D.
3D. Now, we just watched the trailer and they are so pleased with themselves that this film is in 3D.
The sense of self-importance in this trailer is phenomenal.
Like, yeah, the screen is black for 15 seconds before anything comes on it in this trailer, and it's just trailer voice guy going, "Have you ever been so scared that you pooped out of your nose? Have you ever been so terrified that you had an entire corner on the cob and all?"
Yeah, the whole thing is just like, just going on about, you know, a creature made out of fear that swims in fear. The legend of fear began in the fearful first film. And then just when you feared it was safe to go back in the fiery water, the second film was full of fear. And it's just like going on, like bigging up the fact that like Jaws is the most terrifying film franchise anyone has ever seen. And like sharks are a scary creature. It's a scary concept. If I was in the water with a great white shark, yeah, I'd be scared. But these films aren't that.
It's not that scary. Is it that scary?
I mean, there must have been some scarier films around at the time. This cannot have been the high watermark of nice. Of scary films at the time. At least there must have been scarier films. Okay. What up with that? What up with that?
I know. And so they give us this little rundown, this recap, and every time he like talks about a film, there's like a little window opens in the blackness and it looks out at the water. So it's like Jaws 1, you shit yourself. Jaws 2, the fear spread the shit everywhere. Oh my god, it got out. Yeah, I got on the sandwiches. Oh. And then there's like this little gap in the middle, and then he's like, but with this one, and then the window opens and it says, it's gonna be in 3D, you wankers! Oh. And then like the shark flies through the window and it all just comes in your face. And yeah. But for this to work, people in the cinemas would have had to already have their 3D glasses on.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like, oh, well, the window's shifted and it's a logo now. Actually, the thing is, like, the windows appear and it makes the Roman numerals of 3. And what it reminds me of, I think it's like the trailer for Alien.
Yes, I had the exact same thought.
It's the trailer for Alien. And you know what Alien is? Scarier than Jaws,
yes.
Motherfuckers.
Like, Alien's got
that's actually terrifying. It was terrifying then. It's still fucking scary now. So don't be there like, oh, we're going to just riff on this Alien vibe. But it's like, what?
With this trailer, like, they're going to have to deliver. And I don't recall either of the previous trailers going so hard on the, this is a scary film.
I mean, they play up to it, but like not to the extent this one does. And I'm really excited to see, because the trailer gives away nothing. So, I mean, just a few little background facts before we go in, because all we're going in on is basically a man saying fear a lot and the Roman numeral for 3.
I mean, no spoilers, Tom. I'm hoping, I've got an inkling it might have a bad fish in it.
Oh, well, let's hope, let's hope. So, yeah, so this Jaws 3D, when it was released in cinemas, and then just Jaws 3, if you're not watching it in 3D, that's how they like to brand it, 1983.
Year I was born, good year, strong
good,
year.
Good, strong year, strong year. Directed by a Mr. Joe Alves. Now, Joe Alves was the production designer on Jaws 1 and 2.
Okay.
Jaws 3D is his only film that he's ever directed. So,
huh.
So, you know, is it that he had a terrible time doing Jaws 3D? Or was he kind of like, you know what? Not a lot of people come and hit a home run on the first go, but I did. Time to retire, undefeated. I'm mixing up my sporting metaphors there, but anyway.
They call him Mr. One and Done.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, what do you think, Todd? Do you think it's going to be a good? Do you think it's going to be a bad one? It's a pretty good segue into the IMDb guessing game.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. So,
can you remind me what the previous scores were?
The previous scores. So, Jaws the Shark 1, Jaws' Big Day Out from 1975, got an 8. Big, strong score. Jaws 2, Lost in New York from 1978, got a 5.7. Now, it's 1983. Jaws is in 3D. Someone's seen the trailer for Aliens. What do you think?
Jaws the Shark takes Manhattan. I'm going to say I'm going low.
Okay.
I'm going 4.4.
Mate, knock a few. It's a 3.6.
Ouchie.
I mean, 5.7 to 3.6, that's a jump.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited.
Okay, ouch. Good God.
I mean, we had a lot of fun with Friday the 13th 3D. So I'm just hoping that there's like a shot where like Jaws is playing with a yo-yo and it's just like flying right at the screen. It's going, whoa! And there's some popcorn coming out the screen going, whoa! And then an eyeball.
If there's an eyeball, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, the last film we had, Jaws the Shark turns Freddy Krueger Two-Face. So who the fuck knows what we're going to get with this one? I don't know.
Mate, you want to take a chomp out of it?
Damn right. Bad film. Bad film.
It's not a good film. Oh my God.
Bad film. Bad film.
That said, I had quite a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he's only directed one film. Like, the things that we were enjoying were not the things that you were supposed to enjoy. You weren't supposed to be going like, man, this is a hoot and a holler. This is framed so badly. Why are these people, like, cut off at the, like, below the neck?
It's unbelievable. The framing, the camera work, the fucking focus on this film. Half of the film is out of focus.
This is this amazing scene where, like, all the central characters are stood in, like, the foreground and they're all out of focus, and the only things in focus in the entire shot are two background characters who are doing nothing and have only appeared in this one shot at the left and right, like, far left and right of the shot. And it's like, did nobody watch this?
I don't think they did. And there's this strange, like, the whole film is shot in a fisheye lens. Basically, I think it must be something to do with the 3D effect. And just for so many of the shots, anything to the extreme left or right periphery is just really, like, blurry, woozy. It's like you've just dropped a pill and then gone into the cinema. Yeah. It's really weird.
Very strange. There's a lot of very strange things going on in this film, and as you've quite rightly said, Todd, it was meant to be filmed in 3D, and the bits that are meant to be in 3D, I mean, we didn't watch it in 3D, but you know they are.
Ooh,
you know.
Yeah. For example, the font at the very, very beginning of the film is in these cool 3D letters that fly right at you and go, Jaws the Shark!
In 3D. And the beginning bit, we get this, like, underwater sort of stalking through the sea thing that we've had in the previous two films. And then we see a fish and blood. And then we see that a fish has been killed by Jaws the Shark. And its head floats in towards the camera. And its mouth is going, blop, like the head is still alive and it's, you know, there's blood and stuff. And you're like, wow, the fear of the trailer has really been delivered on, apart from a fish killing another fish is not scary.
It's not scary.
It's just literally what fish do to survive.
It's nature's lore, I'm afraid to say.
But then we're into the film, and it's set at SeaWorld.
Yes, with the full participation of actual SeaWorld.
Strange marketing choice by SeaWorld, because this film portrays SeaWorld as like kind of like a summer camp, like a sex comedy summer camp run by idiots where people nearly die. I mean, well, you say nearly die because the body count in this film is very low. There are some deaths, but like
a large percentage of those deaths are fish.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like, come to SeaWorld. Like, we've put money into Jaws 3D. It makes us look like fucking douchebags.
And the other thing is that even the bits of SeaWorld where tourists aren't getting attacked by sharks, the bits where they're supposed to be having a good time, SeaWorld just looks really boring.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of watching people do water ski pyramids where they all stand on each other's shoulders.
Very proud of that. Very proud of that.
I mean, I've got an upper limit on how much money I would spend on that and how long I am willing to spend watching it. And let me tell you that the film exceeded how long I am willing to spend watching people do water ski pyramids.
Yeah. So, right. We're at SeaWorld. There's a big press conference going on next to a SeaWorld induction. So what we have is like this kind of like all the summer staff at SeaWorld are being slut-shamed by an older lady who works there saying, your shorts are short enough.
Ladies, I know you want to hike them up and just show everybody everything, but these are as short as we are legally allowed.
Yes. Now, repeat after us the SeaWorld oath, and all these girls in short shorts start chanting this weird SeaWorld mantra. The camera pans over, and there's a press conference going on next door where they are unveiling like this big deep sea attraction that they've got in SeaWorld. They've built this big lagoon, and they've got like an underwater bar and this like these tunnels through the lagoon where you can go and look at the sea life, and you've got a sunken Spanish galleon, and this guy's telling you all about all the attractions and how great it's going to be. And in the background, you've just got this eerie chant of, welcome to SeaWorld, where we have fish! And instantly, this is very early on in the film, and you know that something is not right with this film, because nothing here is adding up.
No. And then I got this very sort of strange, like, what year is this? Sort of eerie feeling when somebody goes, hey, get Mike Brody out here. And the star of the film is Dennis Quaid as Brody's now grown up son.
The eldest son. The one who in Jaws 2 got knocked out and spent the entire finale of the boat, of the film, knocked out on a boat with a bunch of incels.
Yeah.
Our hero.
He grew up to be Dennis Quaid.
Denise Quaid.
Yay. Yeah.
And he works at SeaWorld as an engineer. I think he's built this underwater, like, MacGuffin, and he's in a relationship with the head marine biologist.
She's some kind of, what she does is she seems to get called in every time that a fish needs a tummy rub. Like, yeah. She just does a lot of, like, rubbing the tummies of fish.
She's like a fish vet, and veterinarian fishery involves a lot of tummy rubbing.
Yeah, basically.
Apparently. And then Mike's younger brother also shows up.
He's a randy bastard.
Yeah, he's just out to fuck.
They go out to this bar, and there's this, like, bar game, which just involves, like, push it. You like stand up against your opponent and then you just push them in the chest until they fall over. And this girl is like, oh, I'll play against you if you promise to buy me a beer. And he distracts her by going, hey, guess what? My flies are undone. And she's like, oh, I want to have a look at that. So she steps back so that she can have a closer look at his peen. And then he shoves her in the chest, knocks her over, and then they fuck.
I mean, that's how you get girls, right? You say, my dick's out, and then you physically assault them so that they fall over. Oh, God, no. Oh, please. Sorry. Edit that out. That sounds terrible.
Hey, man, it worked for her.
Yeah. And, you know, you're like, okay, the Brody boys are back. We've got the younger brother. He's hooking up with the girl that he pushes over is like the main girl from Flash Gordon. That's what she was in. And they don't really do anything. There's no point in Brody's brother really being there. It doesn't really play into like the finale of the film in any way. Like the girl from Flash Gordon gets a little bit scratched by Jaws the shark later on, gets wheeled off in an ambulance. They could just not be there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a...
Like, all the characters in this film, they could not be there. That is how developed all the characters are.
If you'll permit me to make a very witty bon mot...
Oh, please do.
An incredible amount of this film is spent treading water.
Oh! You bond my mo, sir.
So
Jesus, yeah.
The inciting incident for a lot of this film seems to be the arrival of somebody called Fitzroy, who turns up dressed like fucking Phileas Fogg.
Yeah, mixed with like Steve Irwin, yeah. Crocodile Dundee thing. But he's British in a very cod British Spinal Tap kind of way. He's very like David St. Hubbins-y.
And he's a nature documentarian who seems to fucking hate nature because he just loves to kill animals.
Yeah, they find out that like there's a shark might have gotten loose in the SeaWorld Lagoon, and he instantly says to this guy Calvin, who's like the head of SeaWorld, he's like, well, you know what will make fucking loads of money for SeaWorld? Killing that fucking shark. Kill it. You're a nature reserve. Kill the shark. And then, like, has to be talked... Like, Calvin has to be talked round by Lady Sea Vet by saying, but you know what would be better than killing the shark? We're, like, a fish zoo, so we could, like, catch it and, like, put it in the fish zoo.
We could just put it over there.
I mean, these are both, like, you know, they're both dumb ideas. But anyway... yeah, like this guy, yeah. It's like if David Attenborough went around being like, oh, there's gorillas, yeah. Fucking stab them. You know what would get some really big viewing figures? If I went into the fucking jungle and just shanked, like...
Charge people
gazelle.
A quid to look.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of the, unbeknownst to them, Jaws the shark has waddled in and bitten the arm off of a guy called Overman, who was inexplicably in the water, we don't really know why, and his arm floats towards the screen in brilliant 3D.
Yeah, like, there's the beginning of this film, like, the first, like, 10 minutes, there's characters walking around, but they're all, like, filmed in long to mid shots, and you can't really hear what anyone's saying, and it's just really unclear at the beginning of the film, like, it's really bad at setting up who the characters are. It takes a while to figure out, oh, that's Brody's son. What does Brody's son do? What is anyone in this film doing? Who's this guy dressed in black in a boat? Is he a terrorist? Apparently he works at SeaWorld. He's dead now. I don't know. Will they explain any... No!
No.
None of it makes sense. So I was really glad when like a scene showed up that I could really latch onto, get my teeth into... After Brody and Little Brody and Sea Doctor and Flash Gordon Girl have been out and gotten wasted, and Big Brody and Sea Doctor sneaked up and watched the other two trying to bone down, which is really creepy stuff to do with your family.
Oh, yeah.
When they wake up in the morning, they're all hungover, and Brody's there, like, with this dog, and he's like, the dog is eating while Brody lifts the ears of the dog up high above his head as if the dog was a girl vomiting into the toilet and he was holding its hair out of the hair out of the way so that she's not vomiting on her hair. But it's a dog eating, but he's also pouring coffee at the same time. Why is the dog on the kitchen counter? That's unsanitary. And then also, because the framing in this film is so good, they've cut out the coffee cups. So you don't know where the coffee's going. It just looks like Brody is, for some reason, holding a dog's ears aloft while it eats and pouring scalding hot coffee all over its back.
It was actually an uncut scene from Unchained Andaloo.
Okay, well, there we go. It makes perfect sense.
I'm so pleased. Me and Tom were eating some Mexican food, and we were both kind of just a bit like, what's going on? Okay, sharks, like Dennis Quaid. I'm sure, like, something's going to happen in a bit. Like, we sat through Overman getting his arm bitten off, and we're like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, pass the tortilla chips. Where's the guacamole? Blah, blah, blah. And then when it got to the coffee dog scene, we both snapped into focus.
Unlike the majority of this film.
Like,
okay, and that's the only scene we get of coffee dog. But I mean, if you have to watch Jaws 3D, that scene, oh, bada bing, so good. Anyway, we're now 30 minutes into the film, and no, this is at this point where finally people realise that there is a shark, or that anybody has died, and we still have not seen, like, the kind of, like, MacGuffin-y deep-sea new development. So it's been 30 minutes of fucking about with a brief bit of coffee dog.
Yeah, there is some sort of vague background drama that Quaid has accepted a job in Venezuela. He's going to be gone for a year and a half. His girlfriend, Flash Gordon, Tommy Rub, doesn't want to go with him because she's got her own job, understandably.
At SeaWorld, yeah.
Yeah. But that's...
looking after dolphins. There's dolphins in this. Heroic dolphins.
There is no kind of, like, back and forth tug of war about this. Like, no, who's going to go? Who's going to stay? Are they going to break up? Are they not? They're both just like, right, well, I guess that's the end of that then. See you in a year and a half. And they're kind of fine with it.
Yeah, they kind of, like, leave it unresolved, and they kind of mention it at the end of the film. But, like, you know, all the stuff with, like, Brody's brother being there, it's kind of like, yeah, so fucking what? They're like, make this whole thing about, like, oh, Brody's brother's really afraid to go back in the water after the events of Jaws the Shark 2. Yeah, and that's how it stays. There's no, like, moment where, like, he kind of really has to fucking man up and face his fear and get in the water and punch Jaws the Shark 3D in the face or something like that.
He also does spend a lot of the film at SeaWorld in a rubber dinghy, like, just having a nice time.
Yeah, like I said earlier, he could just easily not be there. Like, I'm not...
But he also just doesn't seem fussed to be there. It doesn't bother him.
No, I mean, you know, I'm not so deep in the canon, the lore of the Brody family saga that I really needed to know what both Brody brothers were doing in this one film.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, as I said, there's some dolphins in this.
Cindy and Sandy, they're real SeaWorld dolphins. They're yeah. in the credits as playing themselves.
Yeah, and they keep on talking about Sea Doctor is saying, like, oh, they're scared, they're acting really weird because obviously they can sense fear. Like, they'd seen the trailer for the film and they knew how terrifying it was going to be. They knew that the shark was out there. And a shark tries to attack Brody and Sivet while they're swimming around the Spanish galleon thing in the lagoon.
There's this, like, fake... So it's important to point out there's this, like, fake underwater Spanish galleon that they've put there as, like, a prop. And it the lagoon does connect to the actual ocean by some kind of underwater open tunnel thing.
Yeah, which they keep on saying there's no way anything can swim in because there's too much... going the other way.
They call it a bubble screen. There's these bubbles that go up in a screen, and when the main guy is asked about it, he's just like, sharks don't like it.
Yeah.
They just don't like
it. They think it's rubbish. Yeah. They're not going
so they won't go through it.
Yeah. Anyway, a shark comes in, Jaws the Shark comes and tries to get him, and then these heroic dolphins come in and, like, swoop in at the last minute, and they grab onto the dolphins and they speed away. And
literally in sped up high speed, yeah. Benny Hill motion.
Yeah, and this was kind of a highlight of the film for me, because I was like, yeah, fucking dolphins! Dolphins saving the day! I don't know, it did it for me, because, I mean, nothing else apart from Coffee Dog had happened for the, you know, past 30 to 40 minutes by this point.
So is that your opinion on dolphins, Tom?
What?
That you're kind of a fan?
Yeah, all right.
Can I draw your attention to this page of my notebook?
Yeah.
What note did I make there at that point, Tom?
I think I hate dolphins.
I think I do.
But they showed up and saved the day.
Smug little bastards.
They're the millennials of the sea. They're so entitled.
Look, man, they're on the SeaWorld payroll, right? SeaWorld were all in the script of this film. It's all just part of the big dolphin propaganda machine.
This is all just part of the fact that you just hate all other living creatures. Because when we watched the first Jaws film, Todd was just saying, oh, there's a dog swimming in the sea. Oh, that's creepy when dogs swim in the sea. I hope it dies. I hope it fucking dies.
Now, and then, Tom, you're telling half a truth there.
I am, listeners.
Tom is correct. I like dogs. They're fine. If I'm swimming in the sea and then I suddenly notice there's a dog swimming right next to me, I might get out of the sea. I'm not a big fan of swimming with dogs. Same way if I was swimming in a swimming pool and a dog jumped in, I'd be like, that's a deal breaker for me. I definitely never said I want the dog to die, and I was a big fan of Coffee Dog, Tom.
That's true. You are a big fan of Coffee Dog. But yeah, so you're not a dolphin fan. Okay, well, fair enough. I liked them in this. I mean, you know, I was starved for things to be excited about. So when some heroic dolphins came in to save people from Jaws the Shark, I was like, if it had been Coffee Dog, I'd have been more pumped, but never mind.
So after the escape, there's a really good 3D bit where somebody squirts a syringe onto the camera lens and all of the like syringe juice drips down the camera lens.
I mean, this maybe is a good point to run down, you know, the 3D of the movie. Are there any other, you know, like real choice 3D moments that you want to highlight?
There are some good ones. I'm going to save my very, very favourite one until later. But just a few good examples are somebody shooting a 3D spear gun right into the lens of the camera, very much like the 3D Friday the 13th. There is a 3D fake tentacle.
Like a plastic octopus tentacle that goes right in the screen, which is... It's great because in the film it's not even really meant to be scary. Like, it's plastic because it is a piece of plastic, but they're still like, we paid for 3D.
Whole film is out of focus as a result. Fucking just focus on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a 3D, like, skeleton hand, which is also from, like, a plastic fake skeleton, actually.
Yeah. So all this stuff that's actually, like, it's not meant to be scary, but, yeah, okay, let's just go with it here, people.
The trailer really oversold how scary this film is going to be. Quick, can we get a plastic skeleton in here? Or just something.
Can we get a spooky spider on a bit of elastic or something like that? Yeah, it is not a scary film, and...
Do you know what else, other than just the like, focus issues? The audio, there's so much audio in this that is just completely incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Just huge scenes where they're, like, all of the actors are gathered around some big sort of water tank that's got dolphins in it or something. And the water tank is just going... and, like, in the vague background, you've got some actors going... Yeah, I think we gotta have to push it with me because of the running that's good to do tomorrow today. Oh my god, you just got about to do the ride with the old girl. And it just gets to the end of the scene, and me and Tom look at each other and be like, what just happened? Yeah. I don't know.
Like, you feel like they would have listened back to that and be like, oh, we need to ADR that. We'll get them in and we'll re-record that, like, in the studio. But no, there's a bit where there's important plot points are happening, like, over, like, a tannoy system or over walkie-talkies where they go, Brody, and then Brody's like, oh, fuck, I better go. And you're like, go where?
What? Who? What just happened?
What? And then they go, shark! And then, like, and Mrs. Brody's like, oh, my God, something terrible is happening. And it's like, what? Why was that not higher in the fucking mix?
Call an ambulance.
Oh, deeply frustrating filmmaking going on in this thing. Another thing that I noticed that happened a lot in this film.
What's that, Tom?
So you got Calvin, who is the guy who owns the park.
He's the big boss man.
He's a bit loose and lackadaisical. He's just kind of like, well, whatever's going to make me money. You know, classic evil businessman. Doesn't get any comeuppance at all.
Nah.
No, his nephew dies. His nephew was doing a good job. Such a dick move.
That's a good point.
But like, there's all these bits where they're trying to capture the shark. The first shark that they were like, should we kill the shark? Should we capture it? They capture it. Turns out it's a baby shark.
Do 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 do, baby. I know you're a new father. You're probably very familiar with that song.
Anyway, during all these bits of like, oh, you know, we've got to go out into the park and we're going to look around in the water and we're going to do this and that, they keep on cutting back to Calvin in the control room, standing, doing nothing. So many shots of him not doing anything at all, saying no dialogue while other stuff is going on. You can hear people talking. And I know that like people say that like acting is reacting. I feel that someone making this film misinterpreted that by being like, so what we need to do is just continually cut to someone else's reaction shot. Unfortunately, this man does not react to anything.
He's just staring completely blank, yeah.
Like, but all through the film.
With the dead eyes of a shark.
Yeah. He's like, damn it. That shark I jilted. Anyway.
So they capture the baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, and they get it in their tank, and Dr. Tummy Rub is, like, giving it full-time tummy rubs. She's like, oh, I'm not sure he's going to make it. I mean, didn't the shark, like, kill somebody earlier, and aren't we supposed to hate it and also fear it? Yes, but if I ever stop giving it a tummy rub, it might get sad.
Yeah, she actually says at one point, you record it. Now, let's not traumatise him. They then lock it up in SeaWorld.
They lock it up, yeah. But it's okay because she gives him full-time tummy rubs. And there's literally a bit where she's like, I think we're losing him. And she just starts rubbing his tummy harder.
Spinning it round.
Rub that tummy, mister. Give me a figure of eight. Come on, stat.
And so basically the baby shark died. The baby shark dies. And then they realise that there's another... Oh, no, the dead body of this guy who just showed up and died and we had no idea what he was doing washes up in the lagoon. And it's amazing that there's all these people in these underwater tunnels and suddenly this, like, bloated corpse face, like, floats up and, like, all these people in the tunnels are going, and this girl is screaming, and then we see, for some reason, instead of everyone, while everyone's running away, somebody just actively pushes her face up against the glass, so it's as close to this bloated corpse as it possibly can be.
Do you know what I think happened there? I think the audio was probably very low in the mix and inaudible, like a lot of it is, but I think right before she got pushed, somebody said, hey, my fly's undone, and then she got shoved.
Yep, that's the game that they play in Jaws the Shark 3D. So they get this body and they go like, oh my God, he's dead and gross. And this is kind of cool. Like, the body is all really gnarly and fucked up. And they're like, the bite radius is like the size of a car. The baby shark that I rubbed to death, that couldn't have done it. It's got to be the mother shark. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and there's an amazing line where the boss man goes, you talking about the damn shark's mother?
Good line. So Mum Shark attacks the park full on. They're all drinking in the underwater fancy pants bar.
The Neptune bar, where, like, the fourth wall is entirely, like, glass with fish behind it. So gutted that at no point did Jaws the Shark, like, bust through this glass and, like,
really,
start eating people in the bar.
I really thought that was going to happen. But this disappointment is the theme of this scene. Like, so we get the big bad shark finally shows up, scares everyone in the bar, and then we've got like Brody and everyone are running around trying to warn everybody in the park to get out of the water because there's a shark. So the best way to do this in a theme park, which obviously has a tannoy system, is to run around and do it on foot.
Yeah, one person at a time.
Fucking idiots. and they're running around, and there's this bit where Jaws the Shark is going along, and it's like, oh, there's all these jet skiers. We've seen so much footage of people doing jet ski pyramids. Finally, we're going to see them all get eaten. Nope. None of them get eaten. They like so many of them fall in the water, and yet Jaws the Shark does not get them. They're going to go to like the rubber ring bumper car water dinghies, which Brody's brother is looking grumpy on with the girl from Flash Gordon. Nope. No one gets killed there. They're literally falling out of dinghies and the thing can't eat them. It just, and the shark just goes round and round and round and round, attacks the underwater tunnels, can't kill fucking anybody.
It's rubbish.
The sharks in this are really not scary because, like, when it was, like, the baby shark, there were all these bits, so they'd be underwater trying to catch it and it would pop up behind people going, nom, 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 and, like, would, like, just kind of, like, bite their oxygen tanks or something like that. And it's like, it's a real step down from the fucking villainously scarred evil shark of Jaws 2.
Yeah, right.
Which, like, you know, killed some fucking people. This shark is wishy-washy, man.
They do ramp up the tension a little bit when some tourists get trapped in the underwater tunnel because Jaws the shark, the mum one, like causes a leak, which makes the doors seal. The pressure goes, so the doors seal, and the water is coming in. And there's this like poor tour guide down there with them, and there's just all these old people that are like up to their hips in water, freezing to death. And while the shark like swims around them, and she's still like she's also freezing and about to suffocate and all of this, and she's still like, "Now don't worry, I know you're cold. Like everything's gonna be fine. This is just like they taught me in the thing."
Yeah.
You know,
they told me don't wear too short shorts and just keep people calm if we're trapped underwater and there's a giant shark. Brilliant. The thing about this is kind of like, okay, cool, things are hotting up. Well, no one's died, but at least these people are trapped, so they're in danger, yeah? And then they just kind of go like, don't worry, the water's risen up to our waist, but the water has stopped rising. So there is no fucking ticking clock. Apart from, you know, like, they've got fucking days to get these people out. I know they're, like, trapped in the water and that's not good and they're all going to get cold. But it's not like there's a real sense of urgency suddenly because we've got to fix this thing even though there's a shark out there or else 40 tourists are going to die in this bubble. They're just there and you forget about them for, like, about 20 minutes of the film. And then they go back to being like, oh, we better get those people out there, so let's go and weld it shut.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Missed opportunities, man.
And in the meantime, like, the storyline, that should be our storyline, is saving them, but instead Fitzroy, the phony baloney Steve Irwin, like Captain Kill Things, he's like, I'm gonna get the shark and I'm gonna kill it on camera. And so he like wades out in a blood-coloured like wetsuit. And his entire plan is that he floats there and he plays an underwater cowbell and he just goes like donk, 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 donk on his underwater cowbell. Shark comes along, eats him.
Yeah.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, just fucking eats him. He's like, it's all right, I've got some grenades. And he gets eaten.
He gets eaten.
Yeah.
But we do get a super cool POV shot, right, of Jaws the Shark's mouth from like looking out while it's eating him.
So this thing, like, he gets eaten by Jaws, but like he doesn't get bit, he just gets swallowed whole. So you just see him inside this shark's gullet just trying to swim out, but he can't. And that's kind of cool because that's like, it's like, is that, that's more bleak than just being mauled. Like, you're just in there and you're like, oh man, I don't like how this is panning out. the phony baloney Steve Irwin guy gets killed, and then he's got his like manservant,
he's assistant? Meant to be the cameraman, but like, I don't know why he wasn't with him when he was banging his electric underwater cowbell.
Oh, he was, but he was part of the plan. It's like, you go into the pipes and I'll shut the gate behind you. Okay. There's a kind of maybe a father-son thing going on with them. And like, he's like his like Alfred to his Bruce Wayne or something like that. And then this is like, I just love it that when he realizes that he hasn't come out of the pipes, he freaks out. And just goes completely unintelligible. And he's just standing, hanging off this ladder, shouting into a body of water, just going, "Come here! Come here! But are you going to come here?" The only word that I could get that he said was governor.
A recurrent thing for Jaws just seems to be like incomprehensible old men, just like just like doing monologues where you just cannot catch a single word.
Yeah, but this is like a completely different thing to like Quint's like unintelligible monologue where he's like on serious like downers and he's like slowly falling asleep. This guy is like fucking like hopped up on some sort of crazy juice and he's just going until dawn. So he's dead.
The remainder kind of is back in the control room, really. You've got the boss man who's like, I ain't gonna let my career be ruined by some damn fish.
Yeah.
That's what he says. He goes, some damn fish.
Brody's out there with Lady Tummy Rubs.
Yeah.
And they fix the pressure and the pipe so they can save those people that were, you know, they were fine. They could have been there for like a while. They'd be okay. Anyway, they're safe. Thank God for that. And then Jules the Shark shows up, going, nom, 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 you killed my baby. And then they manage to get into the control room. And then Jaws the Shark approaches in what I believe is Todd Jordan's favourite bit of 3D from this film.
Oh, mwah! This bit of 3D is unbelievable. And I am so sorry that we only have an audio medium to describe it to you. They're in the control room, they're looking out through the big window. Like, they're looking at like a blue watery bit of water.
And with a pipe in the background.
Pipe in the background. So you've got foreground, midground, background. You know, true elements of the old masters of how to compose an excellent shot. And at this point, it is worth saying that all of this film is out of focus. All of this film is weirdly framed. All of this film looks shit. Except for a lot of the underwater photography they've got, which genuinely looks really beautiful. Mm. Like the opening bit where the fish gets its head bitten off and a few other bits, they look amazing. Those are really, really nicely shot bits. I think the problem is that they've tried to film all of the film with these underwater cameras, and it just, they don't work on land, mate.
Yeah.
This bit is notable because, oh no.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh no, this does not look like that.
Bad shot.
So instead, out of the blue comes Jaws the Shark. Only Jaws the Shark is a still image of Jaws the Shark, which they're slowly just increasing in size to let you know that it's coming towards you. It doesn't move. They're just zooming, like expanding it out, so it's becoming more and more pixelated.
Yeah.
It's got a black outline around it where they haven't fully cut the still image out properly. And it's coming, and it's kind of getting closer. And then when it's not actually really at the point where it should have hit the window, a little bit before then, suddenly they animate some cartoon glass breaking.
And then, but the shark stopped expanding at that point.
And the glass breaks and it 3D flies in to us, the viewer. And you know what? That is almost the best bit of 3D.
Oh, yes, actually, you're right.
There is a little dessert coming.
Oh, but and then the control room floods.
The control room floods. Mateboy's nephew dies.
Yeah, his nephew, who's just been doing a good job, and he just gets fucking chomped down on. It's pretty brutal. Calvin disappears. We don't see him for the rest of the film. He gets no comeuppance. And so then we've got Brody and Lady Tummy Rubs. They're there. And Jaws the Shark is going, nom, 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 nom. I want to get you. They go, like, what's that in his mouth? Oh, it's Steve Irwin, isn't it? And he's holding he's dead in the shark's gullet with, like, holding a grenade and, with the pin still in it, as if saying, like, here, take it.
He's just, like, stuck in his teeth.
Yeah, and so then they kind of, like, go, oh, we should use that. So they swim off and, like, find a coat hanger and do that thing where, you know, you have to, like, unhook for, you know, like untangle a wire coat hanger so you could hook something, and they like have a little bit of like trying to hook that, get the grenade out, shark fucking blows up, doesn't it?
And it doesn't just blow up, Tom. What does it do?
Fucking explodes out blood and some 3D comes out. The fucking 3D jaws of the shark, its jaw bones go whoosh, whoosh, spinning round towards the camera, towards us, the audience, and then, like, through the water, and then just stops dead.
They freeze in midair.
Freeze frames.
The jaws of Jaws the Shark.
It's like, you got what you wanted to see. There should have been three of them, really.
yeah, someone's going up to the lobby of the cinema afterwards, I believe a Mode 1 jaw.
And it's just so unnatural. Just because it just stops. It's like, it's meant to be flying through water. Like, nothing just stops dead in water.
It's amazing.
And oh, during this scene, those dolphins that Todd hates had come in and like kind of like roughed up Jaws the shark a bit to like try and save them. And so then the big final bit of the film is Brody and Tummy Rubs. They get out of the water and like, oh, this is brilliant. We're alive. Where are the dolphins? And then the dolphins spring out of the water in like another really badly composited shot where like they're doing this symmetrical thing, like where like there's like two dolphins and they're like symmetrical on either side of the screen doing like a little, I guess like a dolphin handstand or something like that. And it's obviously just the same image flipped. They just filmed the one, and it's just like, and that's what they freeze the film on. And it's like, okay.
You also forgot to mention, for some reason, they're gold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's...
They've suddenly literally transformed into beings of pure gold.
Fuck. What's that about?
Come to SeaWorld. See the golden dolphins that saved the day.
You might die, but the dolphins got your back. Don't worry.
The body count's very low.
It's a bad film. Now, this seems like a good point where I'm just going to like hit you with this, like a little bit of trivia about what this film could have been.
Ooh.
Apparently, when they were talking about bringing Jaws back, because there's a bit of a gap between this and Jaws 2, the studio were originally thinking like National Lampoon's was doing quite well, so they thought that they would do like a spoof, and it would be called Jaws 3 People Zero.
Oh, I like that title!
Which is quite good. There was a script that was commissioned. One of the writers in the script was John Hughes.
Whoa!
And Joe Dante was originally approached to direct.
Oh my goodness, and I'm a big Joe Dante fan, so...
And none of this came to pass, because I think that the studio, like, or like some of the studio realised that, like, basically it would... like making a spoof version of Jaws the Shark after you'd had like, you know, you established what the brand is with the first two, and then like deliberately, like other people were spoofing at the time. It was a big thing, but for them to do it, it was kind of like shitting the bed. It's kind of a bit like, it's kind of like, well, we're kind of fucking up our own brand. Let's not do that. But there are moments in this film where I just feel like, is this leftover stuff from the spoof? Because some of it is just fucking dumb. Like, It did feel like there were some spoofy elements in like the beginning with like the goofing around, like this weird kind of like SeaWorld is actually kind of like a summer camp sex comedy kind of scenario where they're like sneaking around trying to like watch your brother fuck someone, that kind of shtick.
And it's odd because it doesn't endear me to the characters. It doesn't make me care more about whether or not they live or die. And
I care about none of the characters in this. Actually, no, the only character that I thought, like, I was kind of like, you know who's actually, like, the best character in that?
Who's that?
Is the Lady Sea Doctor who rubs the tummies.
Yeah, Lady Tummy Rubs. She's nice. And she decides to go to Venezuela with him at the end as well.
She does.
Like,
she's nice and she's, like, heroic and she's just feels better established than Brody, than Son Brody.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like some guy doing this Harrison Ford impression throughout the whole fucking film.
He is cribbing Harrison Ford so hard. There's even a point where the camera cuts to him at the exact moment that the score does the first four notes of the Indiana Jones theme. And it is uncanny. I had to blink and just check what DVD we had in.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Jaws 3D. It's an oddity. I'll give it that.
How are you feeling about the franchise at this point, Tom? We are one movie away from the bitter end.
Oh, man. I mean, it's definitely come off the rails. Jaws 2 had a lot of boring bits with some really good sharky action.
Yeah.
And this was just a complete, like, everything about it was misjudged. Like, there was hardly any sharkiness in it. Like, the story just fucking meanders around. It's incredibly badly filmed. You can't hear anything that's going on. It's just not, like, it's the most bizarre product placement for SeaWorld I've ever seen. It's a badly done piece of film. So I'm kind of intrigued to see how they come back from this? Like, how they kind of suddenly go, like, should we have another punt at Jaws?
Yeah, I just think there are... I like the concept of Jaws, and I think that if you combine the best bits of Jaws 1, 2, and 3, you've got one of the greatest movies of all time, right?
Mm.
But they're not combined. They're spread across, so far, three movies is the problem. It's quite a limiting idea. And, you know, a shark can be really scary, and they do have those scary eyes and those big teeth, and as long as you don't give them a tummy rub, they'll just keep coming at you. The problem that they have is they're so easy to avoid.
Yeah.
And there's so few situations that you can write for your characters to literally have to go somewhere that a shark is.
So with this, they have to do it because, like, it's in this water park, you know, it's a confined... The different thing about this, which should have worked better, is, like, they're in a confined space. It's not the open sea. It's in this lagoon. There's the public in there. They have an interest because it's a business. They have to, like, try and get it out. You've got a slight Jurassic Park kind of vibe going on there.
Yeah.
But it just... It absolutely does not work.
Like, I don't understand why it's taken them this long to... And they still haven't done... the same idea as the movie The Shallows, which I think came out, like, within the last 3 or 4 years. I can't remember the exact date of that. Which is stranded at water. Like, they are not on land. It's just people floating in the water for the movie, and there's a shark. That's it.
Yeah.
How hard would it be to, like, leap to that idea? Because the problem with all of these is just, like, just stay on land, mate. Just stay on land.
Yeah.
But it happens all the time that people are stranded at sea, they're lost at sea, boats sink, planes crash, whatever. Do that film... That, like, the monologue that Quint does, the incomprehensible monologue, which I think is meant to be him floating in the water because, you know, the boat's sunk or whatever.
Yeah.
I wasn't really listening. Do a movie of that!
Yeah.
Right? Why don't they just do that movie? Because that sounded really scary.
Yeah, well, it's like, I mean, this one, like, they try and... They're like, oh, it's like a confined space, try and make it slashery in that way. And they have, like, this fake-out where they catch the little shark, and then that shark dies, but there's another shark out there, and this one's a bad fish, and it's pissed because its baby's gone and dead and all this kind of stuff. But it's just kind of just, you're kind of like, oh, there's another shark. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess that explains why all the shark stuff we've seen in the first half of the film was not that scary or intense compared to the first two films, because it was a baby shark.
Do, 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 do.
Like, what they should have done is open the fucking film with, like, SeaWorld has the first ever great white shark in captivity, and it's a baby shark.
Do, do.
And then you have this whole thing where, like, the big shark starts haunting the place, and then you've got someone be like, I'll tell you what's going on, that shark's mother's out there.
Right? That's so much better. Like in, this is a weird film to reference, the Will Smith I Am Legend. the whole idea is he's trying to find a cure for the, like, vampire zombie mutant things, and he's captured one, and he's trying to, like, study it, and meanwhile all of the zombie mutant vampires are, like, hoarding him, and he has to fend them off, and it turns out that they just want to get the one that he's rescued back.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, married to one of them or something like that, and he has to let it go. It's something like that. I saw it once a long time ago. Sorry. Yeah. I got this wrong.
They could have just done that.
And that would have been great.
And then you set up, like, an immediate, like, tension rather than this, like, 30 minutes to get to the point where, like, oh, there's a shark, should we catch it or no, I'll just fucking murder it. Like, no one knows what to do. Like, it just would have cut to the quick. That's why it's called the quick.
So on that note, Tom, because the next time we meet to watch one of these movies, it will be the bitter end. Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Yes.
That's your poster. It's got Michael Caine on it.
Yeah.
On the poster. There's his face there, his little gormless face.
You know who else is in this?
Who?
Fucking Caine. Mario Van Peebles from Highlander 3, The Sorcerer.
Peabody?
Big PB&J himself.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so I'm excited
Caine about... Caine on Caine.
Yeah, exactly. So,
what are you writing? If you've got a weekend to write the premise...
I don't know, because I've seen this film.
Oh, no.
I've seen this film, so I know... I think I kind of know what it is, but I don't know.
Is it a bad fish?
It's a bad fish. I hope that the film is that Jaws the shark goes and starts kind of terrorizing the family of that marine biologist from Jaws 2 who said that sharks don't take things personally.
Hey, when you said that, that really hurt our feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the shark has just come to really undermine her research. She's got like a big paper that she's presenting to the board of sharkeologists. And he just keeps on coming back and being a fucking douchebag. Like, you know what you did. So that's what I do.
I know sharks don't have feelings. I really hope they are called sharkeologists.
I mean, what else would they be called? I mean, what would you do?
I don't know. Okay, what I thought would be a cool idea would be like oil rig.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of bros on an oil rig. You've got Michael Caine is like the bean counter guy in charge. You've got the Peabody PB&J.
He's the love interest because he's buff as fuck.
Yeah, he's like just a hard-working, like blue-collar guy. Yeah. They're all on there. They're like, there's a storm or some shit. So they're like, they're supposed to get taken off for the night and they can't, they get stuck.
Yeah.
And there's a shark. And like at first it just starts like gnawing away at the legs or something of the oil rig. And then it starts to tip and they're all hanging on. And that's the whole thing. Like make it a tension piece. Like I don't need a big body count. I don't need these like stalk and kill like cat and mouse kills. Just an ever looming threat. You apply the tension early on and just keep grinding the gears, man, until right at the end it's just the two of them.
Which is what they didn't do in this. They just kept on cutting back to Calvin staring off into space. So
that's what I would do.
So, well, we will wait and see next time. Join us, won't you, good people of home, wherever your home may be. Until then, I'm Tom Denny.
I'm Todd Jordan.
And you've been sharked, son.
Do 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 do.